Father, I humble myself before you and acknowledge that without you I can do nothing. Please send your Holy Spirit to teach and speak through me today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are my strength and my redeemer. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I told you when I had the privilege of speaking last that I'm in a Bible study with other pastors, and some of them are very prophetic people. And as their prophetic words come forth, I feel like it's my job to study them and then teach about them to the greater body of Messiah, at least the part that I have access to anyway. And then we do have our messages going out on podcasts, and people are hitting on these podcasts from countries all over the world. So I praise God for that, and I thank Alan for the technology expertise. Anyway, recently another prophetic word came forth, and at first I was hesitant to bring it here, but more and more I felt like I must. And this is the word that recently came through the Spirit of the Lord to these prophetic pastors with whom I fellowship. The Lord said, "My church has become too dim. There is no brightness anymore. My church has become too dim. There is no brightness anymore." So today, I'm going to look at, you know, brightness, light, darkness. What do those mean, and what did Yeshua himself have to say about these things? And what can we do to get the brightness back? I'm going to start in Isaiah 60. A prophetic word that came out from the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before Yeshua came, starting in verse 1 of Isaiah 60. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you."
Yes, Lord.
Okay. "The Lord will arise over the darkened people, and his glory will be seen upon them." Okay. Now I'm going to look at Hebrews 1 briefly. Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So Yeshua is the brightness of God's glory. And we are called to be like him. He was to be the first of many brothers and sisters. And we are to be his body, and he's the head. So we have to be like him. And in order to be like him, we have to let our light shine. We have to bring back brightness so that everyone can see it. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, if you want to. John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, in some translations, it says the darkness can't put it out, or the darkness can't extinguish the light. But a light source can extinguish itself. And we have to be careful that we let our light shine brightly and we don't extinguish our own light when the world is watching to see what we're going to do. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which gives life and light to every man coming into the world. See, there's one true light source when it comes to spiritual things, and it's Yeshua the Messiah. And that light doesn't only give us light, but it gives us life. It's life light. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not recognize him, some translations say. My Bible says the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name and in the life light that he came to give them. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but from God. Born of God because they received life light when they believed in Yeshua the Messiah. And that life light is what makes you born again. It comes into your spirit and it makes you alive in a new way that allows you to reflect that new life on everybody that you come in contact with if you're functioning properly. I mean, we've been given life light from Yeshua that brings life into us. We're born again by that light, that life, and it's supposed to reflect off of us into everyone that we meet if we're functioning properly. And that the entire church is supposed to be that life light to the world. But the Spirit of God had to come to a prophet and tell us, my church has become too dim. It breaks my heart, really, to hear this. But it's not a big surprise. We all know that the church at large has not functioned the way that it was intended. Let's look at some more scriptures. John 3, starting in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You know, we need to come into that light that our deeds may be more clearly seen, that they're done in God. In other places in Scripture, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord. But how many times do we think, what will people say if I do that? Or what will people think if I act this way? And we worry more about what people are going to say or think than what God has commanded us to do. And what will bring us the most peace, the most joy, and the most reward in our life is to be obedient to the will of God. Turn to John 8 now. Those of you who compulsively like to follow along the way I do when I'm listening. Verse 12 of John 8. Then Yeshua spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Again, he's saying, my light brings life to you. Don't walk in darkness. Follow me. Now, a lot of you at times in your life have done a very, really wonderful job of being faithful to what the Lord has spoken into your life. But we all have times when we're not quite as bold or obedient or focused on God as we should be, and we're letting the cares of the world, our circumstances, or what other people think affect our behavior, and we're not being the great example that we could be. And that's why, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is saying that the church has become dim, I think. It's part of it. Turn forward to John chapter 12. Starting in verse 35. Then Yeshua said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Yeshua spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Skipping ahead to verse 46, this is Yeshua speaking again. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. One more verse from John chapter 14, starting in verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Yeshua answered and said to him, if anybody loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now, the key word in this section of Scripture, from my perspective for today, is manifest. It comes from the Greek emphanidzo, emphanidzo. It's Strong's 1718. And it means to cause to shine, thus to appear, to come to view, to reveal, exhibit, make visible, present oneself to the sight of another, to be conspicuous. And in this scripture, emphanidzo is referring to the self-revelation of Yeshua to believers. A secondary meaning of the word is to declare or to make known, manifest. Now, Rabbi used that word many times today during his prayers. And as believers, you know, we have to manifest or make known or allow to shine through us or to make visible or to appear or to cause to come into view the light of life that has been sown into us by Yeshua so that the world will notice that we're different. Now, the last time I spoke, I talked about the land of Goshen and how the Israelites were living there when they were in Egypt. It was part of Egypt. And when the plagues came and the flies infested every part of Egypt, there were no flies in Goshen. God kept his people safe from the torment of the plague. And when the hail came and destroyed everything that was above the ground, all the crops, trees, plants, They were destroyed in all the land of Egypt, but they weren't destroyed in Goshen. And when utter darkness covered the land of Egypt for 3 days and they couldn't see anything or go out, they couldn't even see their own hand in front of their face, it was still light in Goshen. And I said, we need to see ourselves as if we're in the land of Goshen at this time, at the end of days, when the tribulation is coming and the world is going to be traumatized and judged by God. We need to be spiritually in the land of Goshen, set apart and safe. And we need to be the place where there's light and not the place where there's utter darkness. We need to be where there's no hail, not where everything else is destroyed. And we need to be where there's no flies, no scorpions, no, you know, torment. Because we're different, we're holy, and we're set apart for the Lord. And how can we be that if our light has gone dim? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Yeshua tried to tell us. This is Yeshua speaking, Matthew 5, verse 14. He's talking to the disciples, to the believers, to everyone on the mountain who's listening. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. If every person takes responsibility for the life light inside themselves, pretty soon the whole church is going to be bright and shiny again. We can only do it one person, one heart, one soul, one at a time. In the same way that you decide to believe that Yeshua is the Son of God, that you want what he's offering. And remember that we're saved from something real. We're saved from the coming wrath of God. And that's nothing to take for granted. If you want to hear more about that, go on that podcast and listen to my previous sermon called What Are We Saved From? Luke chapter 11, this message about letting your light shine was so important that it's recorded in the Gospels more than once. In Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 33, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp is of the body, is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If when your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now the word for darkness in this scripture is skotos, S-K-O-T-O-S. And it literally means physical darkness, but metaphorically it also stands for spiritual, moral, and intellectual darkness. The darkness that arises from error, ignorance, disobedience, willful blindness and rebellion. Darkness is an evil system that's absolutely opposed to light. And light is good. So we can't allow ignorance, disobedience, willful blindness, or rebellion to lead us into darkness and keep our light from shining. And yet, sometimes that's what happens. It's not easy to be in complete obedience all the time. I understand that. But it should be our goal. Because in Ephesians, I'm going to read this later, but I just want to mention it now. It says, have no fellowship with the people who are in darkness. Don't fellowship with those in darkness, but rather expose them. Shed light on them, in other words. Shine your light on the people that are in darkness and give them a chance to see better and come into the light. You know, people who do things that they know are wrong, criminal elements, they always do them in the dark. They sneak in the shadows, you know. But when things are brought into the light, it's more likely that what you see will be acceptable and good things. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who did what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, the whole world, all of mankind, was once in darkness until the life that is the light came into the world, as we read in John 1. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest, or brought into focus, or allowed to be seen by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Messiah will give you light. Now, I know that up until now, I've been proclaiming what I see as a problem. And I'd like to offer at least a few things that might help lead to a solution. First, let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. The first epistle of John, not the Gospel of John. Starting in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua the Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Lord. Now, how can the church regain its brightness? The first thing that I would offer as a key to regaining brightness will be found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You all know this verse. It reads thusly, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So, my first key to the church regaining its brightness would be repentance and humbling ourselves and praying and seeking God. Now, prayer and intercession is one of the things that the church should be doing all the time anyway. But I think that's another place where the light has gone dim. People aren't praying enough. They're not trusting that their prayers will be effective. See, they've been taught in their in different doctrines to pray for prosperity and for things that are not really the will of God for them. And they stopped having a confidence in their prayers being answered because they were praying, you know, for in a way that wasn't godly, I believe. And they were, and actually this has been preached over and over again. How come people aren't preaching that the church has become dim, you know, and that we need to regain the brightness that we were supposed to have? You know, it's hard to preach these kind of messages because mostly people aren't, you know, excited by it. They don't really want to hear it. Unless they're hungry for God and they really are seeking Him. Then when someone comes and wants to preach this kind of message, people will get behind it and they'll be enthusiastic about it and they'll say, that's what we need to hear. And I know that there's a lot of people here that are like that. And I know there's other places where I'd probably get tomatoed off the stage if I tried to preach a message like this. I think the second key to understanding how we can become bright again comes in the knowledge of God. We have to seek God. We have to have more knowledge of who He is because, as I've said many times before, it's hard to trust a God that you don't know. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Messiah crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Messiah is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And look at verse 30. It says, but of Him, or what that really means is, because of His doing, you are in Messiah Yeshua, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we have to trust that God has become for us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And in order to do that, we need knowledge of God, who it is that we're trusting. Look at chapter 2 now, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I submit that one of the reasons the church has grown dim is that we have not focused on or known all the things that have been freely given us by God, and we haven't made them a part of our everyday life. If we knew all the things that God has given us and everything he's already accomplished for us, I believe we would have to live differently. We would have to shine more brightly. We would have to preach the gospel to the unsaved people living around us. We would be compelled by the love we have and the knowledge we have of God and seeing him as he really is and seeing ourselves as we really are in comparison. We would be compelled to be obedient and to seek him and to do the things he's asking us to do if we knew. My only conclusion is we really must not know. We must not get it, or we would be doing these things better, more, whatever. I believe that all of this is going to come to a head as the age comes to an end. And we have an obligation, not just to ourselves and the people we love, but to everyone that we come in contact with, to shine bright enough that they see a difference in us, to expose the things that are dark in their life and give them a choice. You know, if you don't say anything, they're condemned already. It's said in John 3:18. But if you say something and show them this light that they haven't seen as yet, perhaps, maybe they'll choose to come into it and be saved from the wrath that's coming. Maybe they won't. You can't decide for them, but you can shine on them. You can let your light shine. One person at a time, letting their light shine more brightly, more often, in all situations, can make a difference. How about 100 million or a couple billion letting their light shine all over the world? What kind of difference could that make? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. This is Paul speaking, formerly Saul of Tarsus, a rabbi, a Pharisee, trained in Jerusalem under Gamaliel, one of the most learned men in the whole nation of Israel. But he was captured when he had a face-to-face meeting with Yeshua. And from that moment on, he was compelled to do exactly what he was told. He said, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel." He said, even when he was brought before the Roman king, he said, "This is what happened to me, and ever since then I've been doing exactly what I was told because, King Agrippa, I had to be obedient to the heavenly vision." That's the kind of obedience that he was modeling for us. So he says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Messiah and to make all see." That means to bring to light what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Yeshua the Messiah. So the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's the problem with the church being dim. We are not making the manifold wisdom of God known to principalities and powers in heavenly places as we're called to do. And that's why those principalities and powers are having free reign in countries and neighborhoods, in groups of people all over, even among leaders, even in the lives of believers sometimes. Because we haven't flexed our muscles and said, "Look at how powerful we are. We serve an awesome God. And you are sniveling little nothings, and we have got the keys to defeat you. What we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You are nothing. We are the Almighty Church. But do we behave that way? Heck no. Now, manifold. This is a very interesting word. The manifold wisdom of God. It's poilupoikilos. Poilupoikilos. Strong's 4182. It means varied or many-colored. The word pictures God's wisdom as much varied with many shades, tints, hues, and colorful expressions. As a God of variety, he is still entering the human arena. He's displaying many-sided, multicolored, and much variegated wisdom to his people, mainly through other people. And we cannot show, declare, make known the manifold wisdom of God if we are not a bright, shining light that has all the hues, all the colors in it. White light is a combination of every other hue combined together. Dark is the total absence of any light at all. The manifold wisdom of God is to be made known by the church to principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. I do not see this happening in all the churches I go to. And it saddens me. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Messiah, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Yeshua the Messiah, to all generations forever and ever. So Paul is saying, he's praying for the church in Ephesus that he helped to found, that they be strengthened in their by the Spirit of God, that Messiah may dwell in their hearts through faith, that they may be rooted and grounded in love, that they'd be able to comprehend and know the love of God, and that they'd be filled with all the fullness of God so that they could take that love, that faith, that bright light that they've been given, the life light, and show it off in power that works through them to affect the world. We were destined to have power. Power that works in and through us. We were not destined to be sniveling, weak, little people hiding in our church and praying that the demons won't overrun us. The demons are supposed to be hiding in the shadows, praying that the church won't come into their full brightness and power and blast them back into the pit. That's the reality, but we are not living that way, and we need to be. We really, really need to be. The manifest presence of God is light, brightness, shining into your life, giving new life and boldness, giving you the peace that comes from knowing that God loves you, and giving you power to accomplish the things that Yeshua did when he was here. That's the way the church can do greater things than he did because he went to his Father. Believers filled with the Holy Spirit, letting their light shine brightly, confident in the love that God has for them, shining for the whole world to see, will bring power to do miracles, heal illnesses, save the unsaved, and be the visible evidence of invisible God to those who are still living in darkness. We need to shed a little light on a few things. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm almost done here, guys. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Losing heart is a biblical expression for having a poor attitude about something, for letting things get to you, you know, for focusing on the circumstances instead of on what God has already done in your life. That's what it means to lose heart. But it says that we have this ministry and we have received mercy, therefore we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the world of God, the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, that means Hasatan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Messiah, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Messiah Yeshua the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Yeshua's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Yeshua the Messiah. Now, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shines in the face of Yeshua the Messiah. And in chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all, with unveiled face, are destined to behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord looking back at us, being transformed into the same image from glory to ever-increasing glory by the Spirit of the Lord who is in us. And that's what we need to be praying for. That's what we need to be holding as a goal in front of us. That's what we need to pray for our brothers and sisters, for the other churches that are in our community. And that's what we need to be modeling for the unsaved people who are still out there in darkness in the world. One last place I want to show you, Revelation chapter 21, verses 23 and 24. John, the same John that wrote the gospel and the epistles, has become John the Revelator. And here he's talking about the glory of the new Jerusalem that's to come. And in verse 23 of Revelation 21, it says, the city, that new Jerusalem, had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. And then in verse 20, in chapter 22, verse 5, just ahead, it says, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. As Ed said earlier, God is sovereign, and our future in Him is secure if we are obedient. If we let our light shine. If we trust Him, we read all the things that He's done for us and we start living as if they're true in our lives. That's when we're going to make a difference. That's when we're going to make a real difference. And I'm praying right now that everyone hearing this, either here in the sanctuary or on the podcast or on a CD that somebody gives them, will make a commitment in their own heart to let their light shine. One light at a time, you know, we can light up the world. But we can't do it if we remain dim. So I think people need to commit to spending some time in repentance, to humbling themselves and asking God's forgiveness for allowing the dimness in their own life that they're responsible for. But also for the church, for our country, for Israel, and for the entire world. Then I also think that we need to seek the hidden things of God that the Spirit wants to reveal to us and ask Him for new knowledge and new revelation. Once you get a new revelation from the Spirit of God, you need to start living that out in your life, and that will allow Him to give you more. We need to faithfully and boldly proclaim what we truly believe about the Lord and what He's done for us. How our lives changed when He became an integral part of it. And we need to start looking at the end and picturing ourselves there. Visualize yourself in that new Jerusalem where they don't need the sun because the light of the glory of God is the only illumination that they need. And that life light came into the world and dwelt among us and allowed us to behold His glory to teach us how to be light in a dark world. Let's go out and do it, brothers and sisters. Let's be light. Let's be light. Let's let our own light shine. Father, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, bound by cords to Your altar. And we pray, Lord, that You would come into each of us with new revelation, new knowledge of You, new boldness and faith to let our light so shine that everyone who comes in contact with us can't help but notice. Look at the brightness on that person. Wow, I've never seen anybody glow like that before. I want what You have. Tell me how to get it. Like the jailer who went to Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Let people come to us and ask about that. We ask this fully believing that the one we ask is capable of delivering it to us in our lives. And we have our older brother, Yeshua the Messiah, as a perfect role model whose brightness is enough to light up New Jerusalem so that the sun is no longer necessary. And whose light brought life to everyone coming into the world who believed in His name. Let Your light bring life to us, Lord, that we can share and reflect on all the people we meet. In Your holy, amazing, merciful, and awesome name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.